per chapter in Genesis chapter 22, which concentrates on that very idea, sacrifice for sin. It may not look like it, but it is. In this chapter, we have a surprising thing happen. In the 21 chapters we have been through, God has invariably blessed man who follows him, brought judgment upon those who would not. But his hand of blessing was evident to all. But in this chapter, something else happens, which is troubling to many people. What came about after these things? That God tested or tempted Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. Now, that word tested or tempted, the first time it appears in the Bible, right here. And some people are a little distressed over the thought, why would God tell someone to do something wrong? Well, God was not doing that here. He was providing a test. Now, when the devil suggests a course of action, he is tempting you. He is trying to get you to do something that is wrong. And he will delight in your fall if you will just listen to him. When God tests someone, he does not intend that they fall. He intends that they surmount the test, that they pass the test with flying colors, and by this become a stronger believer in him. And that is why this test is brought here. God does not intend Abraham to stumble and fall here. God intends Abraham not only to pass the test, but to be the recipient of great blessing. And he has already planned for it. But the test is necessary. You say, well, couldn't God do it another way? No, he couldn't. Because human beings are free moral agents. And that means they have to make moral choices. They have to consciously choose what is right and consciously turn away from what is wrong. And unless they do that, they're drifting. They're not really standing for God. And as we heard in the song, there are people who think they're all right with God because they're just drifting along the course of least resistance. They haven't really made a choice to choose God above all. In verse 2, God said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. Now, that could not have been anything that Abraham heard that would have hurt like those words. Because Abraham loved God, and he intended to obey God. But he loved Isaac. And here is the son of his old age, that person that his soul doted upon, that he would do just anything for. And God puts his finger on that spot and says, will you sacrifice this for me? It's significant here that there's another word that appears here for the very first time in Scripture, and that's the word love. Your son whom you love. God recognizes this old man's love for his dear son. That son was everything to him. You love him. Ah, yes, and will you give him away? God knows very well what he's asking. Abraham knows very well what he's asking also. My friends, the Bible is a marvelously beautiful book. Never makes a mistake. It does not capriciously put that word love in here. It does it very, very deliberately. Your only son whom you love. The Gospel of Matthew Can you think of the very first time that that word love appears in Matthew? At the scene of the baptism. This is my beloved Son, the Father says from glory. My beloved Son. In Mark, chapter 1, very same scene. This is my beloved Son. In Luke, chapter 3, this is my beloved Son. Three times over, in the very first occurrence of the word love in the Gospels, it's God's infinite love for His dear Son. It all goes back to this text. And John doesn't refer to the baptismal. What's the first time the word love appears in John's Gospel? Oh yes, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So this is the reason that it all links to this chapter. Here is love for a dear son. Can you find a higher category? Could you find a stronger emotion in mankind? I don't think you could. And this is not an example of Abraham's love. It's an example of God's love. Because no human being can outgive God. And God planned from the beginning to sacrifice His dearly loved Son for mankind. Wicked, sinful, ungrateful mankind. Divine love is in a different category. It doesn't fit with our human love. Who among us would sacrifice a child, even for a good person, but for a criminal, for a wicked, twisted person? Who would care to do that? God would. That's astounding. Here is the love of God. The love of God that reaches to the uttermost. To claim the sinner, rescue him from a life of sin. That's a marvelous text. Verse 3, so Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. He split wood for the burnt offering and he arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. It took 3 days to travel from Beersheba to Jerusalem. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder, and we will worship and return to you. Now there is the voice of faith. Abraham had thought this through very carefully. God had promised him Isaac, an heir. He had told him plainly that he was going to be the father of multitudes, that there was going to be a great deliverer that would come through that line. God had revealed His will to Abraham, and Abraham believed it. But now He's given a test. Take and sacrifice your son. Is that going to derail God's purpose? Is that going to terminate God's plan? But could not. God is not like that. God is not contradictory. Somehow, God understood the reason behind this. Abraham obviously did not. But somehow, God was going to make it right. And yes, Isaac would yet be the son that God had chosen for him. And would yet be the progenitor of multitudes of people and even of the great King Himself. We will worship and come again. The writer to the Hebrews in 11:19 says that Abraham's faith was so strong he accounted that God was even able to raise him from the dead. If that is what God wanted, Abraham would do it, but God would certainly still fulfill His promise. He would not let His word drop. Abraham believed God. My friends, that is a gripping picture of real faith. Plainly, it was a terrible test. Plainly, Abraham did not understand why this had to be. But he did understand God was in control. And he was God's man. And he would do exactly what God told him to do. And God would always uphold him and somehow make it right. And the word would be kept anyway. Real faith. Now friends, we are all tested. There is not a day that goes by but what they are tested. None of those tests are there to destroy us. No, the devil would like to do that. That's right. But those tests are permitted into our life so that God may become our all in all. The tests are there to drive us to God, not to drive us away. And the tests have to be there because we are free moral agents. We've got to choose what is right and refuse what is wrong. That is part of our nature. And when we fail, we are destroying ourselves. We are ruining the very purpose of our existence. And so God brings the test. Again and again and again, they keep coming. And we have to keep choosing. And always it must be with faith that God knows what He is doing. That God is bringing the tests so that we would seek His faith, so that we would ask His grace, so that we would be confirmed in righteousness, that our choices would be honoring to Him. A Christian life is not an easy one. It is a constant struggle. It is a battle. It is an uphill climb. Why? Because it's designed to make us better. God is not satisfied with us, any of us. And so the tests keep coming. He is trying to push us into depending upon Him more fully, conforming our choices and our will more completely to His Word, that we might be walking a pathway that is evidently homeward into His presence, and that all who can see us recognize the path that we are walking. But it is not a downhill saunter. It is uphill. It is a hard hike. You need God's grace to do this. So do we all. We will worship and return again. Abraham trusted God. And Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Again, there's probably no question that could have been asked Abraham that would have hurt more. How could he tell his dear son that he was going to kill him? How could he explain that? There's no way he figured out how. But he believed. And he replied, "God will provide for Himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them walked together. No, God did not intend Abraham to hurt Isaac. No, God never intended Isaac to be slain. But He asked Abraham to do it, knowing how hard a test that would be. And Isaac raises a question, not knowing how hard the question was going to be. And Abraham had to take it all, and he did it by faith, that God was in control, that he was obeying God. And God would make it right. And he was sure God would make it right. You know, friends, it was right. it did work out for his betterment. And Isaac was not slain. All because Abraham trusted God. Now, not only was Abraham a loving father, he was also a prophet. He may not have understood the full import of his words here, but they were inspired words. God will provide for himself the land. Yes, he was going to provide it. Yes, it was God's own dear son that he was going to provide. Yes, the sacrifice would be made so great that it would atone for the sins of the entire world. God sacrificed his son, and he did it. That is why we can be saved, friend. That is why anyone can turn to God and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me. The debt has been paid. The sacrifice has been made. The sins are accounted for if they're upon Christ. This is the hope for every one of us. In verse 9, they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. He said, Do not stretch out your hand against the lad. Do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Now I know. Puzzling word. God is omniscient. He knows everything, doesn't he? What does this mean? Now I know. Friends, there's a great deal of difference between theoretical knowledge and factual knowledge. Abraham had theoretical knowledge of God. But here he is being asked to do something very concrete. Depending upon the grace and love of God completely. Does he have that kind of faith? Friends, nobody knows until Abraham says, Yes, I do. And there it changes from a theoretical love of God to a real one, because Abraham is going to act now, assuming God's great love, assuming his power and dominion. And it's not theory in his heart. It is practice. That is where the difference comes in. And God says, Now I know. It isn't all something in your head. It's something that controls your life. And this is the problem that we all face, friends. We have a theory in our head. We know what's right. We know what the Bible says. We know how we ought to be living. We know how we ought to obey God. But it's theory. When it comes right down to doing it, we start hedging. Well, this is uncomfortable. I'll pick this pathway because it's a little bit easier. We're rationalizing away that submission to God. And we don't see what we're doing. But God sees. And here, Abraham chooses. There's no give at all. This is the path, hard though it may be. And he walks. God says, Now I know. Now you're doing what's in your theory. Now your practice matches your profession. Friend, that's the crucial point for every last one of us. We've all got the theory. We all know the pathway. But doing it is another question. Abraham did it. God says, Now I know. Since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And that's the crux. We're holding something out on God. He doesn't have this part of our life. This is mine. And you know, I'll obey him here and there and there and there, but not right here. This is my property. Every one of us have to ask ourselves, is there a door locked somewhere in my heart? Is there some person or some place or something somehow God is shut out of? We've got the theory all right, but there's a room in my soul that he's not welcome to. Now, Abraham, he opened that door. He said, if this is what God wants, the most precious thing, here it is, Lord. That's what God wants from every last one of us. For Abraham, he actually did it. He reached for the knife. Hard though that was, and God said, stop. The test is over. And Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. It was already provided for. God had always intended it that way. But Abraham didn't know that. He was trusting God somehow. All he had to do was look around, and there it was all prepared for. The ram was there, the substitute was ready, and God had provided everything. His dear son was safe. And the test was passed. My friend, God always has everything ready. There's no time that you can look at a difficult situation, no matter what it is, where you can't see the way out. You say to yourself, how can we get through this mess? There is no time but what God has already prepared a solution. He doesn't bring his children into a test that he can't bring them through. No one is ever tested beyond his capabilities. God always has the right pathway ready. Just surrender. Do what you know is God's will. Get it settled that you're going to please him at all costs. And yes, God has already prepared the solution to the problem. It's already in waiting. And Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is in this day in the Mount of Jehovah, it will be provided. Yes, God provided exactly what he needed. And here's the mount of provision. And we can all say that when we come to that place and choose for God. God will provide. He always does. He never lets his people down. He always provides every need. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven, and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord Jehovah, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly supply your seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. Your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. And this is the first time in the book of Genesis that the word obey has appeared. Do you really love God? You love God the way you should. Will you obey? There it is, all linked up in the same chapter. And what Abraham did gave the greatest single illustration in Scripture of what God was going to do in sacrificing His Son upon Calvary for you and for me. What a privilege Abraham had of facing a heart-rending test and of trusting God that it would come out right. To this day, 4,000 years later, we look at that scene and we say, what a man of God he was. How he chose for God. No hiding the issue. No sidestepping the point. He put God first. And everybody could see it. In the New Testament, God delivers His Son up. Here is the fulfillment. Abraham was the typical action. There is the fulfillment of all this, where God sacrifices His divine Son upon the cross, that all of us may find the door of salvation wide open to whosoever will believe. None of this is an accident. It is divinely inspired. It's recorded here because we need to know. God loved us above His Son and sent Him to die that we, poor, miserable sinners, could be forgiven and be saved by His grace. How amazing is the love of God. My friend, this is here because we need to know how much God loves us. This is not ancient history. This is our relationship with God today. This is how a person passes a test. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In this quiet moment, God's Spirit has spoken to you in this text. Is there a door in your life that is shut to the Lord? Is He knocking upon that door? Have you heard Him today? Will you take the key to that door and unlock it and give it to the Lord and say, Lord, here it is. It's yours. If God has spoken to your heart and He has knocked on a door, would you slip up your hand and say, yes, pray for me. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Oh Lord, forgive us that we hold out on You. Forgive us that we fail so many tests. Today, Lord, give us grace to pass the test. We pray for these who have asked for special prayer. We ask that Thou wilt help them to indeed give Thee the key and turn that room over to Thee. We ask that Thy Spirit will fill that presence, will make of that place a shrine, and will control that life to Thy glory. We ask for every saint here, as they face tests, that each one of us would put our all upon the altar and hold back nothing from Thee, but trust Thee to bring out Thy perfect will in every regard and make us what we ought to be for Thee. Help us all, Lord, to believe in Thee and to walk humbly with Thee, and to please and obey Thee day by day, moment by moment, that the Lord Jesus may be